welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on the R word equals recession right after this. You know, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small, and you shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed that scriptural principle when they put into our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10, these 17 words. They tell us, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin, a tender in payment of debts." But in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away from us, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation. Now, in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents have introduced our current practice of the first, the second, and the fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system, and they've given us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coins. So now, in the intervening 70 years or so, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons that I teach here at the law school, in our Mosaic Law School, in our business school. We conduct that twice a year here at the law school. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order the free general law CD package that we offer. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, and it's informative, it's entertaining. But best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one for yourself right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, our business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click on the email and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Why don't you do it right now before you forget? We've been talking about recession. Alan Greenspan gave a speech here a month ago or so, and he used the R word. It's kind of like the F word, you know, and the N word, you know. We Americans are politically correct, or at least that's the way we're being brought up, you know, or being trained up here to be politically correct. And the R word means recession. And in American economics, recession is a bad word. And our government, especially our politicians, they do everything they can to avoid recessions or to soften the blow of recessions. And so they came up with schemes, you know, like Social Security back in the Great Depression and the unemployment insurance program and workman's compensation. All these communist programs and ideas, these socialist concepts, have been introduced into our monetary system. And there's a side effect that comes from that. It's massive debt. And now we've got this massive debt, and we have these massive bubbles in our economy, like the housing bubble that the international forecaster, Bob Chapman, reports on every week, in fact, twice a week. The international forecaster is probably the granddaddy of all of the newsletters. There are a lot of newsletter writers out there in the marketplace, and these newsletters typically are $100 a year or $200 a year. And you subscribe to them, and they're called economic newsletters. And the type of people who generally subscribe to these would be investors and businessmen, people who buy and sell, typically buy and sell mortgages or buy and sell stocks and bonds. And what they're trying to do is to figure out where the market is headed. where is the market headed in houses? Where is the market headed in stocks and in bonds? And where is the market headed in gold and silver or copper and commodities and so on? And then they bet on that. It's actually a bet. It's what you're doing. You know, when you're buying gold, you're saying to yourself, well, I think that the price of gold is going to go up over the next year or two. And so you take some of your labor, which you have converted into dollars or escudos or pounds or francs or euros or whatever it is, and you invest those in this commodity, could be copper. Now, the price of copper in 2000 was about 80 cents a pound, and then it finally peaked out around $3.20 a pound, and it's been going down. It's now in the $2.50 or 75 cent range. And so people buy those commodities. They don't actually take delivery. I mean, you can buy copper futures or you can buy zinc futures and whatever, and you don't take possession. What you do is you buy a position. You pay $500 down for a $5,000 contract for future delivery. If the price goes up, you sell the contract for future delivery to somebody. And if the price goes down, you have to meet your margin call. So let's suppose that the price of copper is $2.50, and we buy a $5,000 contract. We put $500 down. The price is $2.50, and the price goes to $2.60. Well, when it gets to be $2.60, we can sell that contract, and there's a marketplace for that. And we made 10 cents a pound. And you know, you had $5,000 worth, so $5,000 bought you, you know, 2,500 pounds of copper or something like that. And then you sell that and you make a profit. And if it goes up to $3 while you've got this contract, you know, you made 50 cents a pound. Now, if the price goes down to $2.40, your broker calls you and says, hey, listen, the price went down 10 cents, so you have to send us another $200 or $100 or $50 to meet your margin call, see? And as the price goes down, you have to keep paying more money until finally you pay the whole $5,000 into the fund, into the brokerage house. And it's a sophisticated form of gambling. I frankly prefer the crap table because, you know, you got just about the same odds, maybe a little better on the crap table, and you can get a decision about every 30 seconds. And it's a faster moving game. You don't have to wait, you know, for 6 months or a year or 2 years to find out whether you won or lost the bet. You can just get right in there, and you can start betting up a storm, you know, and get it over with in an hour or two and go sit down and have dinner in the casino. Well, probably the best guy that I know of for writing newsletters, or at least the most comprehensive guy, and he's pretty general. In other words, he's got a section in here on housing. He'll have a section on the stock market. And he looks into employment and inflation around the world, not just in the United States, but he's got a section in here, you know, that talks about commodities and Latin America and Mexico and Europe and Asia. And it's about 20 pages, and it comes out twice a week. It comes out on Wednesday and then on Saturday. You can get it right over the Internet. And so the way we do it here at the law school, we subscribe, and then on Wednesday, Dirk will download it off of the computer, comes by email, and then I've got my 20-page midweek report. And then on Saturday morning, it comes out again, and then Dirk will copy that for me and take it off the Internet, and then they'll give me my weekend report. Now I know what's happened in the week. I know what happened to gold. I know what happened to silver. So as soon as I get the report, I know what the price of silver was yesterday. And if I want to know what it is today or at any particular hour during the day, I can call my broker. And you ought to have a broker, you know, if you've got gold or silver or stocks, you know, you should have a broker. And you can call him up and say, well, what's the price of Walmart right now? So he'll look on the computer and he'll say, well, the price of Walmart is 51, Walmart is 51.40 as of 1:30 this afternoon. And that tells you exactly where you're at with whatever it is that you're buying. That's how up to date these newsletters and these brokerage houses are. Now, you may just be a truck driver, and you know, I say just a truck driver. You know, you're a vital part of the economy, quite frankly, or a plumber, or a carpenter, electrician. And here you are, and you make money just like everybody else. Maybe you're not a Bill Gates with $37 billion, but, you know, you're Joe Finkelstein, and maybe you've got $3,700. and where should you be investing your money? And then they're telling you, you know, you should be investing your money in a mutual fund or some stocks or bonds or in real estate or in condominiums or something like that. And the real estate market peaked. Now, there are these cycles that go up and down. And the real estate market peaked in June of 2005. And Bob Chapman said in 2004, he said, you know, this can't go on forever, and we're going to reach a peak. And so about June of 2005, he said, you know, I think we're about at the peak. And sure enough, in June, July, and August of 2005, you know, the market peaked. Now, that's the average nationwide. And I found that out in June of 2005. So I have, over the last 18 months or so, I have divested in real estate. I don't hold any real estate. And then I listened to Franklin Sanders on the silver market as opposed to gold. He has a thing in there called the Dow in Gold. And I reported that to you a little earlier here, the Dow in Gold. That means that if you had your money in gold in 2000 compared to the stock market, you're 56% further ahead today than you were with stocks. And in these markets, they kind of cycle back and forth. Well, the people who want to know where the markets are, then I would think that 51% of the American people invested in the stock market should be subscribing to a newsletter, somebody's newsletter, to keep them informed as to where their investments are and how much money they're making. They don't. They haven't got a clue. They don't know what newsletters are, so they rely upon Lou Dobbs and CNN or Katie Couric and CBS, and they get their report on the mass media, which lies to you constantly. I pointed that out to you the other day. I said, you know, these guys are paid professional liars. John Swinton explained it to us clear back in 1880. So people would rather be lied to make them feel good than they would to read a newsletter that tells them where reality is. And that's why I said bad news is good news because it's reality. And bad news demands a solution. Bad news demands a solution. So when I found out that the housing market had peaked, I said, okay, any real estate that we have, we want to unload now. We want to unload it on somebody else. Okay? And so that doesn't mean that you wouldn't buy a piece of real estate today and then sell it tomorrow. I'm not talking about buying and selling. I'm talking about you guys that are holding apartments or you're holding commercial property or you make your living with real estate because it peaked and now it's going to go down. Now, if you own this real estate free and clear, let's suppose that you've got 15 or 20 houses. I remember I had a student one time years ago. He had six houses. And he'd accumulated these houses over his lifetime. And then he had them all rented out, and that's the way he made his living. Well, in his case, it really doesn't make any difference, you know, whether the price goes up or goes down. He owns the physical property. And today, if he sold it, he could get $1 million for it. And tomorrow, if he doesn't sell it, it'll go down in value to $500,000. But he's got these houses rented. And he takes the rents off of them and makes his living. It's the way he pays his electric bills and does his shopping, you know. It's like being employed, you know, working at General Motors or something. Now, typically, though, people don't do that. And they have a position in the market. Just like having a position, you know, with copper futures. And they have mortgages to pay and taxes to pay and maybe a second mortgage to pay. And then they're subject to market fluctuations in rental prices. They have to be competitive. And so what happens to these people that are in a mortgage, when the price of the real estate goes down, rents typically go down, and then they either have to lower their rents to a point where they can no longer make their mortgage payments. And that's where we're at today in the housing bubble, where people have leveraged themselves into a house. Leveraged. That's another economic term. That means that you got in over your head. That's what leverage means. Leverage means I'm in over my head. Now, free and clear means I own the property and I don't have any mortgage against it. And the costs of operating the property are far less than the rent that I can get for the property. So therefore, I have a positive cash flow. It actually makes a profit every month. Now, if you're in one of these houses, let's suppose that you've got a house and your mortgage is $2,500 a month, and you bought the house for $300,000, and the house is now worth $250,000, if you could find a buyer for it. That means that you've got a negative cash flow. If you rented the house, you couldn't get $2,500 a month. You could only get $2,000, which means you've got to subsidize this mortgage payment every month with $500 a month out of your paycheck. Now, assuming that you're like most Americans and you're already maxed out on your credit cards and you've already tapped into all of your sources of ready borrowed money, and now you're making $5,000 a month, $60,000 a year, making $5,000 a month, but you don't have $500 a month to make this extra mortgage payment deficit. And so now you got to choose between, well, do I eat, or do I make the car payment, or do I make this mortgage payment, or do I let this house go back? Now, many people put no money down, so they're not out anything. Of course, it's not going to look good on your credit report to have this foreclosure, and it might not look good on your credit report or on your finances in general if you have a deficiency clause in the mortgage contract, which means that they're going to sell the house at auction and you're going to pay up any deficiencies in some future transaction, or you may have to go through bankruptcy. And that's what I've been mentioning to you, that what we're facing here with the collapse of the economy or the Great Depression of the 21st century or whatever the name is going to be called, there's going to be a massive transfer of the wealth and property from one group of people to another group of people. Either Bank of America is going to take the house away from you and sell it to some third party for less money, or somebody else is going to come into the marketplace and buy it for 10 cents on the dollar or 20 cents or 40 cents on the dollar. And then inevitably the prices of these houses will go up. I mean, that's what markets are all about. And then the guy that bought it for 40 cents on the dollar at some point in time, he's going to sell it for 80 or 90 cents on the dollar, and he's going to make a profit. And that's what the business cycle is all about. And that's why I recommend the newsletters to you. And there's four of them that I recommend very regularly. That's the economic side of the newsletter, and then there's the news side of the newsletters. The news side of the newsletter tells you about what's really going on, say, with the CPI and the jury-rigging of the numbers that come out of government agencies, or the Federal Reserve, or maybe they'll report on the military operations that are going on in the Persian Gulf. Did you know, for instance, that the United States has two carrier task force battle groups in the Persian Gulf? Now, you know, ostensibly, you know, I guess we've got them there because of the Iraq war. But the insurgents in Iraq aren't any threat to aircraft carriers, but Iran is. And there's this beef with Iran. And there's the impending war that's coming with Iran that has been deferred because of the bad progress that's being made with the war in Iraq. But had the war in Iraq gone according to Hoyle, we would have already been in, and that war would be done, and we'd already be at war and probably have the war with Iran done. And then we would have 25% of the oil in the world in Iraq in our camp, and then we would have 10% of the oil in the world in Iran in our camp, coupled with the 35% of the oil in the world, which is already in our camp in Saudi Arabia. And then there's the United Arab Emirates and Yemen and a few other of the sheikdoms, you know, around the Saudi Peninsula. And then we would virtually have all of the oil in the world locked up. Now, the war in Iraq hasn't been going near as well as the neocons thought it was going to go. Now, they've got the oil, but boy, Americans have got a short fuse on this war. We're getting tired of it. See, we're getting tired of it. Costs a lot of money, kills a lot of people. And then the politicians lied to us. And I think that's probably why most people are ticked off at George Bush, not so much about the war, but more about the lies that he's been telling us. So let me give you a little overview of this thing, of the newsletter called The International Forecaster, put out by Robert Chapman. And you can go to your web page, you know, the computer there, and it's called The International Forecaster.com. www.theinternationalforecaster.com. Or you can go to the email. It's internationalforecaster, two words, at yahoo.com. The subscription is $129.95 in U.S. funds. Sometimes people say, oh my God, that's $129 a year. It comes out 104 issues a year, and I actually take a vacation every once in a while, and he sends me a notice and says there won't be one next week, but it's at least 100 copies. Now, let's just try this out. This is 100 copies of up-to-date news that's got truth to it, as opposed to USA Today and Time and Newsweek and Katie Couric. There's actually some truth here. They'll tell you what's really going on in the world. So that's 100 copies for $129. So, you know, it's probably $1.29 a copy. And it's 20 pages. So let's take $1.29. We'll just make it $1.30, shall we? And we'll divide that. That's $1.30 per copy. And then divide that by 20 pages. And it costs you about 6.5 cents a page for the information that you get here. 6.5 cents a page, which I would contend is a great value, a great bargain. And I'm a bargain hunter. You know, I'm kind of like anybody else. You know, I like to save a buck here and there. And I would say that the International Forecaster is probably the number one newsletter and should be your number one source of news. Yeah, that's right. Number one, ahead of Katie Couric and USA Today and Time and U.S. News and Newsweek, I think you'll get more information out of the International Forecaster for less money, less time, effort, and energy spent than you're going to get on television or the major news services. So let me give you a little flavor. Let me give you a little information here. He starts off on page one, and this is the recent issue. It's one I got yesterday. He says, we fear the other shoe is about to fall, and we've had a dead cat bounce in the market. And the Chinese stock market, which in part caused the recent correction and has recovered. That, by the way, has the Chinese government very perturbed. The players are exciting the yen carry trade and the Swiss franc carry trade. And the Swiss have just raised interest rates, and it looks like they will do so again soon, as speculators are exiting that carry trade as well. Another important event has been the accelerating meltdown of the $1.3 trillion subprime mortgage market. The failure in this market is affecting the better quality mortgage market, the junk bond market, the general use of risk speculation, the $600 trillion unregulated derivatives market, and the more than trillion-dollar hedge fund operations. All right, let's pause here for a moment, and let's see what we just heard here. Have you ever heard of the carry trade? Carry trade. What in the world does that mean? You know, the average Joe Sixpack, you know, he hears these funny words, and he says to himself, well, I don't understand that, and so I'll just ignore it. I think we ignore it to our peril. That's just my personal opinion, but I think that you ought to know and understand what this carry trade is and how that's going to affect your job, your bank account, your mortgage payments, the economy in general, the world economy in total. And the reason I think that is because of Revelation chapter 6, because God himself said, you know, there's a day coming now, when I'm going to fly off the handle over here, and we're going to call that the Great Tribulation. He gives us a parable here in Matthew 25 about 10 virgins, and 5 of these virgins are kind of wise girls, and they go out and they've secured some oil for their lamps. 5 of them, they're not so smart. They're out here, you know, having a good time, buying, selling, and trading, doing their thing, going to the parties. And so the bridegroom comes, the Great Tribulation comes, the Great Depression comes, some calamity occurs, the housing bubble bursts. And so the 5 virgins who have the oil that they need for their lamps, they don't have a problem. You know, it's like having an umbrella in a rainstorm. The 5 that haven't provided themselves with the oil, come to the five who have the oil and say, sell us some oil. Sell us your umbrella. And so the five that have the umbrella, have the oil, say, no, I don't want to sell you this because I need it for myself. Now, that's not the communist way. It's not share and share alike. It's the property way. This is mine, and I'm not going to give it to you. And if you wanted oil or if you wanted an umbrella, you should have provided one for yourself. And so without the umbrella, they get wet, and their hairdo goes to pieces, and they've wasted their money at the hairdresser, and they feel real bad. And so there's a little moral to the story there. It says you need to be prepared because FEMA probably can't save your bacon in New Orleans. So if you're expecting FEMA and the government's going to save you, you didn't learn anything from the last Hurricane Katrina down in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast, did you? Now, I pay attention to what goes on around me because, you know, I'm like anybody else. I could have a tornado come through here and rip my house down. And then I'd have to go to the government and say, hey, government, help me. You owe it to me. I'm a taxpayer, so you come up here and help me. So after having watched my government in action down there in New Orleans, I said, I think I can learn that lesson. If I can't take care of myself, I probably can't be taken care of. So I better have my own oil. I better have my own umbrella. I better be able to take care of myself. And if I'm listening to Katie Couric, you know, the nation's number one cheerleader, everything's fine. The economy's strong. Everything's cooking just fine. Until I get to the Chapman newsletter and he says, hey, wait a minute. We got a problem here with debt. We got a problem with the carry trade. And the carry trade is where you borrow money from Japan at 1% interest, and then you buy stocks and bonds in America that pay you 3, 4, or 5% interest, and you make the profit on the difference. Well, as the Japanese raise the interest rates over there, it puts the kibosh, it puts the squeeze on your profitability. Now, big companies and big investors have been doing that for many years. You know, you wonder, well, where did this guy Buffett make all of his money? He went over to Japan, borrowed $1 million at 1% interest, came over to the United States and he bought U.S. Treasury bills and it paid 5% interest, and he made 4% interest on the transaction. Now, where did he get the $1 million? We probably went to the bank and borrowed it. Where did the bank get it? They just created it right out of thin air. They just create that debt. And then we have other markets. And these other markets, you know, are like derivatives markets. And these derivatives markets, and then these borrowings, and then these carry trades, they're all kind of intertwined together, kind of like a polygamist and his 6 wives and 37 kids, and they're all out playing in the playground. You don't really know whose kids belong to which woman. You know they all belong to the same man, but you don't know which ones belong to which different wife. It can be kind of an incestuous relationship here. And then when one of these goes haywire, and that's what he's talking about here in U.S. markets, when the housing market goes haywire, it affects these other markets. And these other markets are strung out. And so the other day, the Chinese market went down 9 percentage points because of some Chinese government policy. And then the U.S. stock market went down about 450 points. And so Americans lost $2 trillion because of something that happened over in China a couple of days before. Now, that's why if you're going to invest your money in these IRAs and Krogs and these various stock funds and one thing and another, you ought to know, am I making a profit, number one, which you aren't. But then, even if you were making a profit, don't you think you ought to be concerned about which stocks or which bonds or which investments that you've made here are making this profit and which are losing money so that you could manage your assets a little better? Or you could manage your real estate portfolio a little better and so on down the line. So that's what he's talking about here, first paragraph. He goes on to say that tens of billions of dollars have already been lost, and the contagion is spreading as the media tries to cover up what's really going on. We are watching the disintegration to an extent of the entire mortgage market, which encompasses 25% of all of the outstanding credit in the nation. All right, so let's pause right there for a moment. And so here's something maybe you didn't know. If you take all of the outstanding credit, all the money that's been borrowed in America, 25% of it is wrapped up in mortgages on houses or on businesses. That's a fourth. And this market is now unraveling. It was a bubble, and it got up to astronomical highs, which is wonderful. I mentioned this last time. I never saw a bubble I didn't like, and I never stole anything that I didn't really thoroughly enjoy. I never smoked a cigar that I didn't enjoy every puff. I mean, you know, there's certain things in life that you really enjoy doing. But unfortunately, there's side effects that come later. Long-term side effects. And now we're entering into the downturn in the housing market, which is the long-term side effect that we get every time we go into these bubbles. Now, if you're hanging on to your real estate, it's already too late. I mean, you know, you already missed the top of the market. And now the market is in its descent. Now the question is, well, how low is the market going to go? Well, the answer is 40%. So wherever the peak was, it's going down 40%. Can you weather that storm? If you can weather that storm, you're all right. If you can't weather that storm, you're upside down. See how simple that is? And there's going to be a transfer of your wealth to somebody else. To avoid those transfers of your wealth to other people, these newsletters are necessary and imperative to keep you abreast of what's going on and where, then when, and where is it likely to take us. These guys, in essence, are prophets. They're prophets. They're taking known information based upon historical events of the past and then projecting it into the future. Well, here's what happened the last time we did that. For instance, here's one. We have interest rates on long-term bonds, that's 10, 20, 30 years, and then we have interest rates on short-term bonds, that's 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Now, we have what's known as the inverted yield. Now, here's what this tells us. Over the last 10 recessions, when the short-term bond yield is higher than the long-term bond yield, 9 times out of 10, you're going into a recession. And for the last, I think it's 18 months. Now, I'm not quite sure about that, but it's been about a year, maybe close to two. The yield curve has been inverted. So when the yield curve inverted 18 months ago, those of us that subscribe to the newsletters all took notes and said, okay, recession is coming. So we need to prepare for that recession. In the same way that you listen to the 10 o'clock news and you watch the weather report, and then the Channel 10 weatherman, he says, okay, tomorrow the cold front is going to hit Springfield, and it's moving in from Kansas, from the west to the east, at about 30 miles an hour. So you can expect sub-zero temperatures tomorrow, beginning about 7 a.m. All right, and so we prepare for that. We know that tomorrow when we commute to work that we should be prepared. Maybe for snow, ice, sub-zero temperatures. The sand trucks are going to be, the snow plows are going to be on the road. Maybe we need to leave for work 15 minutes early. Or maybe we need to take an umbrella. It's going to rain. That's all we're really talking about here. Are you prepared for the events that are probably going to transpire? Now, you know as well as I do that oftentimes, you know, you go to work and it doesn't rain, and it doesn't snow, and the weather forecast didn't work out quite the way that you expected it to, but you were prepared for it, which is a mile ahead of the guy who didn't even see it coming. And oftentimes that's what people say, I never saw it coming. Total surprise. I never saw it coming. So those of us that want to watch and see what's coming, subscribe to the newsletters. Well, hang on here. I've got to give you a reminder that you're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults in a compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. If you'd like one, just call the Law School and ask for it. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct, to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and Editorial Review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily totally endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review. Now, the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertisers, sponsors, management, or staff of this network or local radio station. Now, if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the R word, recession. A lot of times people want to know, well, how do you know these things are about to unravel, or how do you know, or where did you learn that, or where did you get that information? And a lot of times it's off of the newsletters. Now, there's many forms of these newsletters. I mentioned to you, I think, last time. Let me do it again. Kitco.com, which is a free service. That'll tickle your taste buds. A free service. And there's a number of these writers, newsletter writers, such as Richard Doughty and Schiff, the Schiff newsletter. And the Doughty newsletter. This is called the DailyReckoning.com, and put out by Richard Doughty on the Kitco webpage. It's 6 pages, comes out every Wednesday, and it's free. Now, I like the free ones because they're free, but more importantly, I don't mind spending the money to get the information because I need the information. The information that I can't get in the mainstream press because the mainstream press is paid to lie to me. Katie Couric is paid millions of dollars a year to lie to me and deceive me. And she's a nice lady, and God bless her, and I wish her the best. But, you know, I got to look out for old number one, and that's little Georgie. So I don't mind the free newsletters, but I don't mind those that cost me a little money either. And the problem with the free newsletter is that you get what you pay for. You get 6 pages free, or you get 20 pages for 6 cents a page. So you can decide on, well, which one did I want? Now, the Magumbo over here is a good guy, but his newsletter every week runs to inflation. So if you want an inflation check, Magumbo is a great guy to go to, and he gives you a lot of neat information, much of it, that he gleans from other newsletters and newsletter writers. So when you subscribe to several of these newsletters and you read a particular statement, you'll say, well, gee, didn't I read that somewhere before? Or didn't I hear that somewhere before? And the answer is yes. Sometimes this guy Chapman will be reading The Privateer, and The Privateer newsletter will have a little tidbit of information that maybe affects Australia or Japan or something, and you'll see that in The Privateer, and then the following week you'll read it in The International Forecaster, and then you'll maybe read the same little blurb of information, this little hot potato, in maybe The Magumbo Guru. Or maybe Peter Schiff may pick up on it or something like that. And each one of these newsletter writers has a subscription list, and he's writing for his customers. And I like to be one of those customers. I might not be buying his stocks or bonds or his hedge fund or whatever he's selling, but I like to have the information, and I pass that information on when I come on the air. A lot of times people, you know, they write in, they say, well, where do you get all this information? Well, I get it off the internet. I get it from Katie Couric, you know. Katie doesn't lie to us all the time. Remember, I explained that to you. See, Katie tells us the truth about 75% of the time. And then about 25% of the time she lies to us. And probably 25% of the time that she's lying to us, she actually believes her own lies. Lyndon Johnson was like that. He was president of the United States. He got to the point where he believed his own press releases. I'm not surprised that George Bush probably believes Tony Snow, his press secretary. He's got his own press. He's got his own press releases, his own spin on the news. And so in the Bible, God gives us a little guideline. He says, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. And so here at the Law Hour, here's what we do to see if we can get more truth into your possession. We'll take something out of a newsletter, and then I say, is this really true, or is this spin, or is this urban legend? And so I say, well, who else said this? And so Dirk will get on the computer and he'll say, well, here's another report on AIDS, or here's another report on the housing market from another source. And then we read that one and we say, well, gee, that corroborates what we saw over here in the first report. Is there any other reports? And sometimes we can get three. Now, you know, God gives us a little guideline here. He says, at the mouth of two witnesses or at the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. That doesn't mean that it's always the truth just because three guys are repeating the same lie, but it gives you a little better guide on where the truth is when you get two or three independent sources that have come up with that same information. So when I report to you, well, here's what the yen carry trade is, I've never participated in the yen carry trade. I never bought any yen, never sold any yen. So I personally don't know much about it, but I've read about the yen carry trade here in the International Forecaster, and he said, well, here's what that is. And then I read about it in Magumbo, and he said, well, here's what that is. And then I read Peter Schiff, and he said, well, here's what that is. You know, after I read that three or four times, I say, oh, I think I can understand that yen carry trade, just being a lowly plumber and all. And so I came to the conclusion that, hell, even us lowly plumbers and carpenters and electricians and truck drivers, you know, we can understand what the hell's going on as long as somebody reports the truth to us at least once in a while. And so that's what we're trying to do here, trying to give you an inside edge here so that you can grasp what's coming down on you. Because a little later on, I'm going to suggest to you that you put away about a four-year supply of food. Yeah, a four-year supply of coffee, because I think it's going to get shut off. You see, when I read that $800 billion a year is being imported into the United States, more than the $200 billion a year that we're exporting, which leaves us with a negative over here, see? And then it says to me that one of these days when we're unable to make the mortgage payment, the bank's going to come take the house away from us. And they're not going to deliver the same goods and services to us that they were delivering in the past if we don't keep our payments up. So not only are they going to come and repossess the car, we're not going to have any means of transportation. So my common sense says, well, I better be prepared for that, so I'll go down and buy an old $1,000 junker that I can own free and clear so that when they come and repossess my Mercedes, at least I got something to drive down to the store with to spend whatever little bit of money I've got left. And you don't know that unless somebody tells you. As old Will Rogers used to say, he said, you know, all I know is what I read in the papers. All right, so what we read in the papers, let's see if it can be as true, accurate, and correct as possible. So the international forecaster is up here at the top of the list. Now, when you got a couple of nickels to rub together and you want to invest a little money someplace, I said, you know, you need Franklin Sanders' Money Changer newsletter, because I think that you'd be better served investing what nickels you've got in gold and silver coin. And the reason I say that is because every conservative newsletter writer is telling you the same thing. But then, of course, every liberal economist is telling you to buy stocks. So, you know, just being a lowly plumber, how in the hell do I know whether I should be buying gold or buying stocks? I mean, I'm good at putting pipes together, but what do I know about the yen carry trade or the Swiss carry trade or buying gold and silver and stocks and bonds and one thing and another and trying to prepare for my old age, you know, trying to prepare for the golden years, as they call them. Well, Bob goes on, he says, well, tens of billions of dollars have already been lost, and the contagion is spreading as the media tries to cover up what's really going on, and we're watching the disintegration to an extent of the entire mortgage market, which encompasses 25% of all of the outstanding credit. Now, we predicted this 3 years ago, and those who believe that they're savvy discovered the problem 2 months ago. This is a general meltdown, and do not think that it isn't, and it has several years to go until the real estate sector is totally purged. This purging will affect other sectors of the financial markets as well. When all of this is said and done, trillions of dollars are going to be lost, and the subprime mortgage market should have never existed in the first place. It was created by the Federal Reserve System as an unnatural set of building blocks under the housing pyramid. These loans that should never have existed in the first place are what has propelled the housing market upward and created this bubble. These unqualified buyers bought at the bottom of the pyramid, pushing owners upward into the more expensive homes. Now that subprime buyers can no longer propel that market higher, the market now in housing has stagnated. Now, the resets of adjustable rate mortgages have begun, and many borrowers cannot qualify under the new tougher qualifications, and most cannot make the increased monthly mortgage payments. So not only has the upward thrust from the bottom ended, but also 50% of the subprime borrowers are going to lose their homes, which will be thrown onto the market, driving house prices ever lower. This is a classic destruction of wealth. It is a bubble created by Alan Greenspan to prolong the collapse of our economy and financial system, which began in March of 2000. These problems reflect a systemic syndrome that has purposely been visited upon our economy and financial system. This all didn't happen by accident. These elitists know what they are doing. Free trade and globalization did not just happen to us. It was planned as a gateway to the coming New World Order and world government many years ago, and it has been used as an instrument of power many times in the past. The problems of our vehicle industry just didn't happen. They were planned, just like the savings and loan fiasco was planned, and our current subprime problems have been planned in advance by those on the inside. And our Congress has not acted, and they will not act because they do not act on their own in our best interest. They act and do as they are told, and they are either paid off or they are compromised. Congressmen and senators march in locked goose step with the lying Treasury and our privately owned Federal Reserve banking system. Our financial system has passed the point of no return 5 years ago, and there's no way back. Our entire financial system is coming down, and what we do not know is at what speed, but we do know the results are undeniably assured. All right, now that's a mouthful. Let me put my mark over here. This guy says that 5 years ago the die was cast and where we're headed is now assured. Well, now, maybe there's a 90% chance for rain tomorrow. I always like the weather forecast. You see, they don't tell us it's going to rain tomorrow. They say there's a 50% chance of rain. They're always right. You know, if I say to you, there's a 50% chance of rain tomorrow, and it rains, I was right. And if it doesn't rain tomorrow, then I was right again. The weather forecast is as useless as tits on a boar hog. You know it, and I know it. Now, when the guy says there's a 90% chance for rain tomorrow, he can't lose. If it rains, well, he was right. And if it doesn't rain, well, he was right again. Wasn't he? All right, now let's pay attention to reality here, kids. Based upon what we have seen happen in history in the past, when we have observed these bubbles in the past, and when the bubble has broken, what has been the inevitable result? The inevitable result is called a recession. All right, so is there going to be a recession? I already reported it. You've been in recession for 18 months. The economy is not growing at 1.4% a year. It is contracting at 8% a year and has been for 18 months. Now, that's past history. It's already occurred. So when I say that there's recession coming, which the government hasn't acknowledged yet, you're all going to sit there and say, oh my God, that Gordon is a real prophet. No, I'm reporting past news. I'm not telling you anything that's going to happen in the future. Hell, I'm not a prophet. I don't know. I'm a reporter. I report on what's already been done. The recession is already underway. Now, what we're speculating on is how bad is the recession going to be? Is the housing market going to go down 40%, 50%, or 60%? I don't know. Hell, I'm not a prophet. God doesn't talk to me. I don't know where the bottom of the market is. I just know that houses are selling for less today than they were 18 months ago. And I know that there's a subprime market out there that's been reported here in the International Forecaster in which half of the borrowers are having their mortgages reset at higher levels. Many of those buyers are being foreclosed on today because they can't afford their payments today. Now, let's see if we can make a little sense out of that. If your mortgage payment is $2,500 a month and you can't meet a $2,500 a month mortgage payment, you could meet a $2,000 a month mortgage payment, but not $2,500. Now, your mortgage is going to reset to $3,000 a month. Can you tell me, boys and girls, if you can't afford a $2,500 a month mortgage, can you afford a $3,000 a month mortgage better? Take your time. Think about it. Mull it over a little bit. And what do you think your conclusion is going to be? Now, you know, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. You either got to have a pay raise that's going to give you more money to cover the higher costs,
Or else you gotta refinance this thing and get the mortgage payments down to $2,000 a month, stretched out over a longer period of time. And he just reported to you that now the subprime market is disintegrating. It was a fiasco created by the Federal Reserve to stretch out the inevitable collapse of the economy in 2000. Well, they've succeeded. They staved it off for 7 years, and that's what you wanted, wasn't it? You didn't want to face reality 7 years ago, so we're going to face reality in 2007, 8, 9, and 10 instead of 2000, 2001, 2, and 3. That's all. So I come along and say, okay, well, now let me report to you that, well, reality is right around the corner, and we got to prepare for it. And so when we do our subsistence and survival school, we point that out to our students, and we say, well, you know, what are you going to do? You got a hurricane coming here. See, you people that live down on the Gulf Coast should be prepared for hurricanes. I remember when Hurricane Andrew came through Florida, they said the houses down there in Florida under the building codes have to be up to 140-mile-an-hour winds. And then this hurricane with 140-mile-an-hour winds blows through Homestead, Florida, and demolishes nearly every house there. And I looked at that and said, those houses weren't engineered to 140-mile-an-hour winds. Hell, you know, you don't, again, kids, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure that out. Now, I got a building here that I have engineered to 140-mile-an-hour wind, which doesn't mean anything with a 300-mile-an-hour tornado. But at least, you know, when there's a straight-line wind from a severe thunderstorm and the winds reach 110 miles an hour, my tower doesn't blow over. Now, it isn't gonna be, you know, windproof to every possible catastrophe. But hell, you know, if you're going to live in Tornado Alley, you got to have a tornado shelter. If you're going to live down on the Gulf Coast, kids, you got to be prepared for tidal surges, and you got to be prepared for hurricanes like Katrina and Rita. And, you know, if you're going to live in the world, you got to be prepared for economic changes in the economy. It's just a part of life. The economy changes from time to time, and you need to be alerted to it. And that's what the International Forecaster is all about. Now, we'll take it up right here with the International Forecaster next time on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. And we'll take a look at this housing. It's the first part of the newsletter. And the reason for this is I'm going to promote this newsletter to you because it's a vital part of subsistence and survival. It's a vital part of being prepared for the economic catastrophe that is about to engulf the entire world. It's not just America, kids. It's going to affect you people in Australia and New Zealand and Borneo and Japan and Europe and Canada. It's going to affect us all, whether we like it or not. And I just say the better you're prepared for the hurricane when it hits, then the better you're going to live in the future. It all has to do with your standard of living. Now, about out of time, so I've got to remind you again here that you have been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet. And we're heard daily worldwide over the Internet. So if you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The Law Hour website is updated every week. It has our radio log schedule and archives and can be accessed through the webpage as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.